This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
You know, Tiki, last night, as I like to do as a prep for the show and the podcast and see what the Giant community is talking about, we had another current athlete in this town playing the social media game.
Mm.
But what do we do when the social media game by an athlete in this town meets the WFAN social media team? Because that's exactly what happened yesterday. So I'm going to play a clip for you that Chris McMonagle had on Jackson Dart and the Giants. And you'll understand the importance of this clip after you hear it.
They fired his coach, and they are coaching him completely afraid to let him be him. That's what happened here. That's what's going on with the New York Giants. And everybody was so afraid. If you allow Dable around him, if you allow the losing to persist around him, he's going to ruin him. He's going to ruin this young quarterback. He's going to ruin him. It has gotten so much worse for this kid the second Dable was fired. It has gotten so much worse. They don't have a game plan for him anymore. They don't know how to treat him. They're not trying to develop him. You're trying to develop a quarterback. You don't hide him from this. You say, go figure it out. It's about developing the quarterback when the season's dead, not hiding him. And not neutering him. Look at the body language. Everything about Jackson Dart is completely different than the kid we saw take over this team in week 4.
That, of course, the voice of Chris McMonagle, who you'll hear on January 5th in the afternoons here with Greg Carton.
Dude, he's absolutely right.
Okay, so he's right.
Dart sounds different after games. Even when they were losing. Now, maybe the losing beat you down, but he just feels despondent. Like, I didn't really give it the effort. And it's not all my fault.
Right.
You could see it. I mean, 11 drop, or I mean, they were more than that because he got sacked, what, 5 times? So 16 dropbacks in that game this past weekend, and only, what, 7 completions, whatever, 4 or 5 crazy. Completions, whatever it was.
They neutered him. He doesn't look the same without Dable, but here's the real key to that clip, Tiki. Jackson Dart liked it on Instagram. Jackson Dart hit the heart button on Instagram.
Because he's right.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
C-Mac is right.
A, do you think Jackson Dart listened to all of C-Mac's words and consciously hit that heart? Did it just pop up in Jackson Dart's algorithm, saw somebody talking about him, and he hit a heart without watching it? And I guess furthermore, after you answer that, should Jackson Dart be staring at this stuff on Instagram, liking it?
I mean, this is the modern athlete. You can't help it. These guys it gets fed to you.
Yeah.
Right? The algorithm knows who Jackson Dart is, right? It knows Jackson Dart's account, so it's going to feed it to you because, hey, it's about you.
Right.
And then it's up to you to determine what you're going to do with it. And Jackson Dart listened to it. He said, you know what? This is real. And that's the thing I like about Jackson Dart. He doesn't care.
No, right? Clearly not.
He's not concerned about the opinions of people who might judge him for liking C-Mac That was on a show. Obviously, yeah. It was on Instagram.
It was on Instagram. It was on the FA and Instagram account. So first of all, Jackson, anytime you want to like anything I say on Instagram, of course, by all means, take the heart. But I think that's interesting. So Jackson Dart, if he consciously liked that, tells you.
I think he did.
Okay, so, and if he did, he is feeling exactly what a lot of us are saying, which is, what the hell are they doing to this kid?
Yeah, not developing him is exactly right. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday, and we talked about it after the game as well, in the postgame, me and John and Dottino. It feels like they're doing everything to make it easy for him. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You're going to find success because we're going to simplify it and make it easy for you. But that's not how you grow. It's not how you become really good at this game.
You want to throw more at his plate now to the end of the year.
So just a couple of examples that we all remember. Eli Manning, mm-hmm. his rookie season, he got thrown to the wolves after 9 games. And look, he had all the resources, right? He had all the playbook. He had his all at his disposal. He had pretty good coach in Kevin Gilbride. And he got thrown to the wolves, and he stunk at it. And then eventually, he figured it out.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning, when he was with the Indianapolis Colts, and this was Bruce Arians' first year, Bruce Arians was his offensive coordinator, and he led the league in interceptions. He had like 30 interceptions, maybe not quite that many, but he had a ton of interceptions. His completion percentage was like under 60%. He struggled. And then eventually, he figured it out.
Yeah.
Right? For quarterbacks in particular, there's this belief that you're going to ruin them if they have failures. But I honestly think the failure is necessary.
Because you need to learn what you've done wrong.
It teaches you how to find success. And so when you're making it easy, let's protect the quarterback. And as C-Mac said, neuter him. You don't give him the chance to callous and grow and become good at it.
Yeah.
Right? At no point is it easy.
You know, no. I mean?
Or should it even try to be easy?
Yeah, so Tiki, let me ask you this. I didn't hear the full postgame show. I'm not even sure if you covered this yesterday, so this is just me kind of flying blind on this. What is the reason for neutering him? Because my belief is, are they just scared about him running and the getting hurt thing, that they're just trying to get by the rest of the year without him taking chances with the legs?
Look, if you're not going to call any design QB runs, because we saw a lot of those earlier in the season.
Uh-huh.
If you're not going to do that, to protect him, I'm completely fine. There's 2 games left, 3 games left going into last week. You don't want to get him unnecessarily hit. So I get it.
I agree.
The winning is important. It's not the only thing that matters anymore. But the lack of letting him like full read a defense and just either just hand it off 30 times in a game doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, you do no play action off that, and then all that does is every time he does drop back to pass, guess what he's doing? Taking bigger, unnecessary hits as a result of the position you're putting him in on third and long and such.
Yes, and so I don't know why they're doing this. I mean, maybe it was the game plan. Brian Flores is so high and mighty, and we're scared of him, and we don't want Jackson Dart to get hit and banged around. But, okay, get hit and banged around, you're going to learn not to get hit and banged around.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science. It's football. Like, we know that it's complicated because of how defenses disguise everything these days, but the only way you're going to learn it is to learn it.
Learn it. Yeah. You know, this leads me to the next question, though, Tiki, and I think it's an important one as we head towards 2026. Tommy Lugauer loves a good Instagram clip of himself on the FAN account.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to start catering your takes to see if Jackson Dart likes him, knowing they're getting fed to his algorithm?
Mm. Oh, yeah. I'll be like, the Mets season's looking bright. By the way, Jackson Dart would make a great right fielder. You know what I mean? So, and the Knicks are got dudes, dogs, and damage. You know who's a dude and dog? Jackson Dart. So I will incorporate Jackson Dart into every single take now, hoping he will hit the button. I also think, is it possible that Jackson Dart was in like mode on Instagram, and maybe it was like Instagram model like, ring girl model like, Chris McMonagle like, oops, like, you know what I mean? Like, Mac was after a couple of hot blondes.
You could just unlike that. He left it liked.
Does everybody know, Teak, that you could unlike? I don't know if that's across the board that everybody knows that.
Of course you can.
No, I know you can.
Look, if Jackson Dart could process a defense, he knows you can unlike us.
But
you think Chris McMonagle only came up because Dart was liking Instagram models and McMonagle also has boobs?
That was Sean Marash, not me. I know we get mixed up sometimes. But wouldn't somebody on the Giants be like, yo, unlike that because it's a bad look?
Do we know that didn't happen by now?
Did he still like it?
I don't know.
I don't even know how to look that up. We can get somebody on that. But wouldn't somebody say, hey, like it's a bad idea to like that.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
I mean, Kafka's
not
going
to be a bad idea to like it because he's not going to be here next
no,
year.
No, I know, but it's still like it's a topic we're talking about with the Giants that's not in a positive.
He
light.
Did. Rami tells me he did unlike it.
Yeah, he got told. Rami.
Went back and unliked
or
it.
Or he was in like mode. And like I said, Instagram model, Instagram model.
So he accidentally liked it? Is that what you're
saying?
It's
like Ricky Bobby when he gets in autograph mode and he signs the guy's like bald head.
Yeah, look, I understand what you're saying. I would just say this. In the great super bad quote to Jackson Dart about unliking that, people don't forget. We know you liked it. We know how you feel. And Jackson, we agree with you.
By the way, Sean, chew on this one. I said this yesterday to Tiki and Evan. Is it possible that Joe Shane is telling Mike Kafka to basically make Jackson Dart look bad because Shane wants to draft Mendoza and Dart was Dable's guy?
My response to that, Sean, was Joe Shane also is claiming Jackson Dart.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So, Tommy, I like the creative thinking. I do. But Joe Shane now has gone out of his way when the thing was good to talk about how much he was involved. If he didn't say all that stuff he already said, and that press conference that felt like he was throwing to the wolves, that was the one thing he hung his hat on, was how involved he was with Dart. He can't go the other way now. I just think they're a mess right now, and Mike Kafka's in above his head as the interim head coach and doesn't know how to handle Dart. I really don't. And I think that there's a 0.0% chance that the Giants are drafting Fernando Mendoza if they end up with the first overall pick. 888-808-1019. Robin Summit. Rob, what's up? Rob,
what's up, dude?
Rob, sorry, you're out.
Hold.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In Brooklyn, Mo, what's up?
Hey, Mo.
Tommy GT and Tiki.
What's up?
What a beautiful combination.
Appreciate it.
I read something this week, Tiki. I want to ask you about it. I heard that the officiating crew that does the offsite officiating for replay, nobody knows who they are. It's like a secretive team. Is that true?
Well, I don't know who they are, and I was in the league doing stuff with CBS, and it was never revealed to us. I'm sure there's got to be a way to find out who it is.
It's just AI.
Why would we not need to know? You know what I mean? Like, what's the reasoning behind not knowing?
Well, you want to know who's making these decisions that we're seeing that nobody agrees with.
Right, but why would they keep it? Why would they keep it hidden from us?
I just think
I don't know.
Yeah. Mo, my guess would be
crazy world. they're worried about somebody, you know, like they go after judges and they go after everybody
well,
else.
I mean,
nuts world.
I hope
somebody loses a big bet.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's fair, but
Mo, I hate to think of it like that. And that might be the reason.
It might be. But we also know the regular official's name. I guess we don't know really anybody's name. We know the head ref's name. Yes. So nobody really cares about the lines, judges, and everything. I mean, look, it's a sick world out there. Could he be right? I also think the NFL could look at this. Who cares? Why do you need to know their names?
Yeah.
You just know that there's officials in the booth. Why are the names relevant at that
point? Well, I've only really thought about them making mistakes in that one Kansas City game where they called it a first down. No, they called it short of a first down. The instant replay or the what do they call it?
Was this the AFC Championship game last year?
No, this was this year. It was okay. And the expedited replay. Said it was now a first down. Then Andy Reid challenged the expedited replay, and it went back to what it originally was. And so my question was, how do you get that wrong?
Right. If it's expedited and you should only call
it overturned something right. That was already called on the field.
An expedited overturn should be ironclad. It cannot be challenged back and lose.
Yes. But that's what happened. They right. challenged it, and then it went back.
That makes no sense.
It was weird. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
It's the
only time I've ever seen it. They challenged the expedited replay.
And I still don't understand the expedited replay. I think in the Giant game, there was a call on Sunday where the expedited replay changed something quick, and I think it was a penalty. Either they picked it up or they called the penalty. And then you watch a game like Sunday night, and it's so blatant. Did you see that pass interference at the end of Sunday night? Now, the Patriots ended up surviving it.
Yes.
That wasn't called pass interference.
Yes, where he was basically tackling it.
But how does expedited review not come in?
Because I don't think that they want to put flags on the field.
But they have with expedited review. It hasn't been pass interference.
Right.
It's been like late hit stuff and stuff like that. That's why I'm very confused.
Right.
If you told me expedited review had nothing to do with penalties and it was about ball spotting or catch, no catch, that's fine. I have now seen multiple times this year a flag come on the field or a flag come off the field. But then the most obvious things like that pass interference Sunday night, there's none. So I don't even think we've got an official like understanding of what expedited review is there for.
Yeah, it just kind of got instituted, and now we kind of know it is there.
Yeah, and it just kind of lurks whenever it wants to.
Yes.
But it's also not consistent. It's very silly. David in the Bronx. David, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, dude?
If John Harbaugh is available, I'm all for it. He's a great coach, what he's doing in Baltimore. And we all knew that Mike Kafka, when he got this head coaching job, was going to fail. Right? I called, I think, maybe 2 months ago and said that. Instead of Mike Kafka, they should be putting in Shane Bowen because he sucks. and the offense won't fail like we did with Jeff Ulbrich. So, like, this whole putting Mike Kafka as the internet coach was doomed to fail from the beginning.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's why most, you know, interim head coaches end up being like the special teams coach.
You're right. The only pushback I'll give is they gave Kafka the assistant head coach title.
Right.
They gave him that title. He's interviewed for head coaches. Now, I guess in theory he could have said, listen, this is not a good spot for me to get my first coaching look. I don't know how that would have gone over. But how do you not give the interim job to the guy you rewarded with assistant head coach? Yeah? All right, Dave. Thanks. Dynamite. It's back. But you know what I mean, Tiki? Like, I understand what you're saying. It should be a special teams coordinator or something like that. But they gave him, because they didn't allow him to take other OC jobs, the assistant head coach title. He's interviewed for it. This was supposed to be a 7-game trial run.
Yeah.
Fair or unfair.
And it's just gone.
It's gone south.
It's gone way south.
And also, it could be the situation he's put in. Or maybe we're finding out right now that Mike Kafka is just not a very good head coach. Like, that's possible, too.
Yeah.
Because let's say this. We all thought Brian Daboll had, like, deteriorated as a head coach. He had them in games.
Yes. Of course. They were close. Look, they were losing them because it was poor game management.
Right. They blew the games. They didn't win those games.
These last five, most of them haven't felt like they could win.
I never thought early in the year, even as the season started to spiral with those losses, and even when they fired Daboll, I never thought the Giants in December, especially when we thought about the schedule they're going to play, we're going to get to unwatchable territory.
Yeah.
And they've somehow managed to do that.
This has turned into 2 years ago when it felt like, well, 2 years ago it was because there were so many injuries.
Right.
It was just a bunch of guys that were practice squad players, you know, trying to, I don't know, makeshift the offensive line, defensive backfield, all that stuff. This year, it feels like it's coaching, and it makes you want to say this is a bad team.
Yeah.
But you know from earlier in the season, because they were in games against really good teams, and they should have won against some really good teams, that they're not a bad team.
You cannot tell me that when they're healthy, they are on the verge, if not for epic collapse, of beating both the Bears and Broncos, who could meet this year in the Super Bowl.
I know.
And that's the same team that can't lose to Max, or can't beat Max Brosmer in the
right.
fourth quarter, and they look that incompetent? How is that possible? How is that possible? 888-808-1019. Anthony in Los Angeles. Anthony, what's up?
What's going on, guys? First of all, let me just say happy holidays. I hope you guys and your family enjoy the vacation when it comes.
Appreciate
Thank it. You. I need you guys to help me start a movement.
Okay.
This movement is to get the Giants to hire Steve Spagnuolo as their head coach. He is the perfect choice.
Is he the perfect choice?
Let me tell you why. Yes, let me tell you why. He is studying now under one of the greatest head coaches of his era. He's one of the top defensive coordinators in the league. He's had head coaching experience. Though it failed, he was on a terrible Rams team.
Yeah.
There's another guy that has that same resume, Bill Belichick. Hmm. I'm not saying Spagnuolo's going to be Belichick. I'm not saying that. But it follows the track. He is also a former Giant. Hmm. He can come here and he can turn this franchise around. Tiki,
I mean, it's interesting when you put it that way. Anthony, when you put it that way, it's interesting because Bill Belichick's first tenure as a head coach, he failed in Cleveland. We all remember it. He was also, it was prior, even though Spags was a good DC prior to him getting a head coaching job, and now he's even a better one after he got fired from the Rams. But Bill Belichick turned his failure into one of the great coaching careers of NFL history. Unfortunately, it seems like Spags is not going to get another shot. But the question is, should he?
Look, I think there's two separate questions. Should Steve Spagnuolo, based off all the work he did in Kansas City and learning from his mistakes in L.A., remember, he was also the interim Giants coach for a couple games,
right.
albeit terrible year. I think, should he? Yeah, I think he should be considered. Here's my issue. I don't want it to be considered with the Giants. I'm
too close to home? Too close to...
All right. He said something
because
there.
Because he's viewed a certain way with the Giants. And that's with a lot of positivity.
It is. And that's not even necessarily... To me, Anthony said something troubling there. I don't need the caveat of, plus he's been with the Giants.
Well, I mean, it is a relationship with the front office that you know is already... There.
And
it's not like you have to learn who he is. And honestly, that's one of the challenges when you hire a head coach who you don't have any familiarity with, right? Maybe someone in the front office in one of the executive, suites or rooms has a relationship with some of these coaches that they're going to interview, or they've met them a couple of times, but you don't really know them. And now you're trying to hire this person to come lead your organization, be the forward face of your organization, but you don't really know who they are.
But Steve Spagnuolo has been available to be hired as a head coach the last four times the Giants have hired a head coach. Why now?
It's a good question.
If they know him so well, why now?
And it's not like he hasn't been crushing success ever since he went back to Kansas City.
They could have hired Spags when they hired Brian Daboll. Why didn't they?
You're right.
It's not a knock on him, but if that's the strength is his relationship, there's got to be a reason they didn't want him.
Right. They could have hired him when they hired Joe Judge.
And I just wonder if, you know, if you're a Giants fan, you want Steve Spagnuolo hired. Is it because simply you know him and the other names you're unfamiliar with and that scares the crap out of you?
Well, I think the unfamiliarity of some of these guys that have been hired, and if you really followed football, you knew who Dabes was.
Right.
I guarantee you a lot of people didn't. Right.
Yeah. Bills were the hot team. Right. You're right.
But it was nobody talked about Dabes.
No.
Right.
No. It was only till people started interviewing.
Right. Yeah. Joe Judge, for damn sure, nobody knew who the hell that was.
I had no idea, and I fell for it. Banana in the tailpipe.
Right. Ben McAdoo, absolutely nobody knew who he was.
We knew who he was.
Right.
And there was a time the Giants rushed to hire him.
And
the
Pat Shurmur, we knew him, but I don't think we were familiar with him.
No, not at all.
And so Spags feels safe because you know him.
And I think that's where a lot of Giant fans are falling
into. That's not a bad thing, though. I don't think knowing somebody disqualifies them.
No,
because it's like you're making the assumption that he's going to fail simply because he failed before. But we got to give him some grace to have grown and potentially be a significantly better head coach.
Look,
a la Bill Belichick.
He might be. I think where I'm at with the Giants coaching search, and maybe I'm the outlier here, is if you're hiring somebody with coaching experience, mm-hmm. I want to know that they were a good head coach, okay? And that falls into what I brought up with Harbaugh. We've joked about with Tomlin, even though he's not going to come. I'm intrigued by Zach Taylor, who made a Super Bowl, and Kevin Stefanski, who's won Coach of the Year. Like those
Twice.
Guys,
right.
Yeah, those guys entice me. Spags failed miserably. Maybe not all his fault, and mm-hmm. wasn't ready for the job. I don't know, and I don't have proof he could be a good head coach. So if I'm hiring that kind of guy, I want to know that they've done it. And if I'm not hiring that kind of guy, then I'm the other way around, and I want to hire an innovative young offensive mind for Jackson Dart. So I think I'm kind of probably not being fair to Steve Spagnuolo and punishing him for his lack of success, but I'm either going innovative offensive mind and or a guy who's been a successful head coach. He checks neither of those boxes.
Yeah, no, he was not successful. His 3 years, he was 1-15, and this was in, they were still in St. Louis, right? Yeah, 1-15, 7-9.
Sam Bradford, right?
Yep, and then 2-14.
Spags, yeah. Yay or nay for you, Lou Gower?
That would be a nay for me.
We didn't get your thoughts on John Harbaugh.
Yeah, Harbaugh would be right at the top of the list.
Would that pass your Andy Reid take of Harbaugh?
No. It wouldn't pass Andy Reid. I would put it right neck and neck with a Mike Tomlin, with a Mike McCarthy. I think they're all in the same boat. I would put
McCarthy
above.
Or Harbaugh?
Harbaugh.
Yeah, I would say Harbaugh.
I didn't know if he was going to go there because he was the big pound that they were from McCarthy.
Because I think now Harbaugh has taken the place of Tomlin because in typical Mike Tomlin fashion, the fans in Pittsburgh call for his job and he hasn't lost.
Right.
They've won every single game since that.
Since they boot him. Yeah, right?
They've won every single game since.
Right. Dude, the AFC is so wide open. Steelers can make a run. What a punch in the gut that would be to the Jets.
You know what?
Run?
Especially if he plays great in the postseason.
I don't think they will, but could you imagine?
And you know Rodgers is dying to take a shot at the Jet organization.
Yeah. Four he's went to the NFC title game with the Vikings. Like, did we even process that this is possible with Rodgers?
You know how we have, like, tweets saved in the queue and we're just ready to, you know, or somebody bookmarks one of mine or Sean's takes, you know, when one of our teams gets eliminated? Rodgers has had a shot at the Jets here that he's been sitting on for months, and when he wins a playoff game, that's, you know, it's great to be with a real organization that makes the playoffs.
You know that's happening.
Definitely. Because he's spiteful, which I don't blame him, but especially in this spot.
Oh, yeah. He holds a grudge in his passive-aggressive way.
Yep.
He's going to take a shot.
Would Seahawks-Steelers be a Jet fan's worst nightmare, Sam Darnold versus Aaron Rodgers? I'm just thinking this. Again, I actually don't think either of those teams are going. Yeah. So this is not like a hate on the Jets
thing. I think it's been long enough since Sam Darnold has been here that the Jet fan has stopped, like, pining.
Who do you root for in that spot if you're the Jets? Seahawks, you root for Darnold to win?
Yeah, I think so. Definitely, 100%.
Because you feel like you ruined Sam. With Rodgers, it's just this failed, you know, Hall of Famer that came here.
Right. Rami, you're the Jet fan, right? Sam Darnold versus Rodgers Super Bowl. A, is that your worst nightmare? B, who would you root for?
I'd root for Rodgers to win one more because I'm a Rodgers fan. But that's me. As a Jet fan, I think so many Jet fans still feel like they like Sam. They feel like the Jets organization failed him, but they root for Sam.
That's probably right.
Now, they despise Rodgers because he came here and it didn't work.
I'm going to throw another log on the fire. Steelers-Patriots AFC title game. Rodgers versus the Patriots back. Who do the Jet fans root for?
Whoa. That one's crazy.
I think they would root for Rodgers.
You can't have New England
The Patriots
back.
Are annoyingly good again.
You can't have them win another Super Bowl and all of a sudden the dynasty's back.
Yeah.
You just by Vrabel.
It's already back, though. Like, whether they win this year or not, it's so back.
Oh, of course. Yeah, they're going to be one of the best teams in the AFC.
For the next 15 years.
Yeah, because he's young.
Well, Merry Christmas, Jet fans. I put a lot on the table for you in the playoffs.
You had 4 years to try to figure it out with Bill Belichick leaving New England and Tom Brady and everything else. Now they're back to being juggernauts.
Life is not fair. 888-808-1019. Continue to take your calls, plus a new game, holiday-themed, Posted and Toasted. Mm-hmm. We will play here. She didn't know I was off of work, so I surprised her. We set this up with the teacher. I come in. I'm going to, you know,
That's
read it.
That's always cute.
Always cute, right?
I love it.
Give a mouse a cookie. She lit up when I walked in the door. Give me a big hug. It made all it's worth. But what I wasn't prepared for, sat down, and I'm looking at a room of pre-K kids, 4 years old, whatever. Three in a row, these kids rattled off. The first kid, you're really bald. Next kid looks at me. You have no hair. Third kid, this is within 30 seconds. It was like they couldn't hear what each other was saying. You're really, really bald.
Right.
That was their observation.
Have they never seen a bald person before?
That was my point.
Wow. Aren't your dads balding also?
BT, I'm thinking, because he was bald too. Yes. Tiki, I'm sitting there looking at these kids going, what are we doing in 2025? And how about a hello?
Right. How about aren't you excited to read this book?
Exactly.
We're going to talk cookies.
Kids, I'm giving you a break from class, and you're obsessed with the fact that I have no hair, so it really sent me down. I felt worse about myself in the hair.
Wow.
So that's where we're at in society. I'm just telling all the parents out there, normalize, liking baldness to your kids. 888-808-1019. All right, time for Posted and Toasted.
It's time for Posted and Toasted.
So we know how this works. Tweets of some WFAN employees from yesteryear, and I'm going holiday theme to see if Tiki can guess this. Okay, we're going back to March 31st of 2013.
Wow. Dude.
Ready?
Yes.
Santa Claus has flying reindeer in a sled. How are we explaining to kids how a giant rabbit gets in every house on Easter? He has no vehicle. Was that Greg Giannotti, Jerry Recco, Craig Carton, or Al Dukes?
That's Al Dukes.
Watch pornography around the holidays.
Al Dukes is always the thoughtful one. He's like, that's a thoughtful question.
Yeah.
How does this bunny rabbit?
He hops around.
The Easter bunny get around.
I think he comes out from the grass in front of everybody's house and pops through a hole. And then...
He Ubers.
Ubers. Mm, yeah. I think he just has the code.
He's got an underground, network of super fast.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But it is true. The sled lands on the roof. The bunny rabbit. Very odd. And the tooth fairy flies.
Yeah.
Easter Bunny's got an operator. Easter Bunny might be a front to something.
What we find out, anytime we do Posted and Toasted, what we find out about our dear friend Al Dukes is he has way too much free time.
No,
he
does.
With these tweets.
Because he legitimately is thinking about these.
Yes, exactly.
It's not like, I'm just going to come up with something. It's like, contemplate it.
He's pondering how the Easter Bunny gets around.
It's unbelievable.
Or at least how we're telling our kids the Easter Bunny gets around.
Exactly. We're going back to 2014 for this next one.
Okay.
September 25th. 2014. Gotta imagine at Sean Morash is already writing his letter to Santa asking for a Larry Donnell jersey. Is that
what?
Chris McMonagle? Is that Tommy Lugauer? Is that Evan Roberts? I'm only giving you three choices there. Gotta imagine Sean Morash is already writing his letter to Santa asking for a Larry Donnell jersey.
That was Loogie.
Sean Morash is going to make me his board op for his entire life.
Two for two for Tiki Barber.
There
Louis, do you remember tweeting that me? 2014.
And why were you trolling him?
I don't remember tweeting that, but I know it's a running bit I have with Sean because every year he gets a Giants jersey for Christmas. And did you know
so it's like going to run out of jerseys to get?
Exactly. I'm guessing like a random big game or something.
I think, and this could be me being really weird about this, 2014, September 25th. I think Derek Jeter's last game as a Yankee happened while the Giants played Thursday Night Football and Larry Donnell caught like three touchdowns versus Washington. I vividly remember this night happening and it was simultaneous at the same time.
Mm.
And now that I'm looking at the year and the date.
Yep. Scored three touchdowns, seven receptions, 54 yards, September 25th, 2014.
Wow.
Look up the Yankees that night. I bet you that was Derek Jeter's last game.
Let's see.
Now this just came back to me. I'm sick. I can't remember certain things about my family, kids, or whatever, but I remember that Larry Donnell scored a bunch of...
September 25th for Jeets.
I have a lot of mental issues.
Larry Donnell is a name I haven't thought about
I didn't even remember that name until you started talking about
Remember Larry Donnell was also on a plane in LaGuardia that slid off the runway, if you remember that?
That was Larry that was on the... I remember there being a giant on that. I forgot it was him.
Okay. Yeah, Larry Donnell. Okay.
I wonder what Larry Donnell is doing these days.
Not catching passes for the Giants. A lot of Theo Johnson in him. 888-808-1019. Okay. Next. Every year there is a gift you're bought without thinking too much of. That becomes the unquestioned winner of Christmas.
Okay, hold on.
Read
that again.
Okay. By the way, this is 2023, December 28th.
Okay.
Every year, there is a gift you bought without thinking too much of. That becomes the unquestioned winner of Christmas. Congrats to WrestleMania Monopoly, the 2023 surprise Christmas champion. I just finished my 43rd round. I'm yet to win.
Oh, this is easily Evan.
Evan Roberts.
Wrong.
I'm
wrong.
You're wrong.
How is that not Evan?
It's a very wordy tweet, but I thought he sent the picture of it. Is it Jerry Recco? Is it Craig Carton? Is it Chris McMonagle?
mean, out of those three, it's got to be C-Mac.
I touched it on Saturday.
He puts the picture of it in 2023. Now, here's what I don't understand.
Oh, it's a Monopoly game.
WrestleMania Monopoly. So here's what I'm thinking. When he says every year there's a gift you bought, I'm thinking he means you got. Because I don't think he bought WrestleMania Monopoly and gave it to somebody else because he's saying he played it. I think he worded that wrong.
Yeah, he
like
must
like you, you get a gift every year. You're like, oh, this is the best
right,
gift
because
I got.
Why would you be playing it if you bought it?
Exactly.
For somebody, unless you're buying yourself a Christmas gift.
So I thought this was just a very wordy, clunky tweet that I had to read around holiday time. Yeah. But I hope Chris is still playing WrestleMania Monopoly this year. We'll have to ask him. All right, and last but not least in this holiday-themed Post-It and Toast-It, this pandemic Christmas, December 23rd, 2020. The Grinch dropped out of school at 8 years old, but can build a flying sleigh out of people's trash in under an hour to steal Christmas? Sorry, not buying this plot line. Bit of a reach. Is that Al Dukes? Is that Greg Giannotti? Is that Boomer Esiason? Or is that Sean Morash?
That's Giannotti.
You're wrong.
What? Is that you?
Ho, 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 ho.
What? Why are you so critical of the Grinch?
Think about that.
Maybe he's just inherently genius.
He makes a point of saying he dropped out of school at 8 years old. You think he could build a sleigh out of people's trash and be able to get that done before
as
Christmas?
As many times as I've seen the Grinch, I've never caught that line.
Oh, you got to catch that line.
That he dropped out of school at 8 years old.
Yeah, you got to focus.
I don't remember that.
Well, because they made fun of him, right? Because he was shaving?
Yes.
I'm thinking of the... Well,
yes.
Hold on a second.
The Jim Carrey version.
There's multiple Grinch versions. He's talking about the Jim Carrey one. Where he drops out because all the kids were bullying him, picking on him because he was shaving his beard in eighth grade.
He never got an education. And think about that giant home he maintains. It doesn't make any sense.
Why not? Why can't you be a handyman?
But he...
You know what I mean? Like,
but how do you learn
You're
that?
Not smart, but
no,
you're,
right.
you're on the radio because you have a talent.
Tommy, you're right.
Yeah.
Those jobs that don't ever go away because we always are going to need a plumber.
But those guys drop out of school in 11th grade, not at 8th.
Well,
they have some background. No?
BOCES. I don't know what they do, but we got the people. They were the garbage people mad at us last week. Let's not make anybody else pissed off here. But I'm just saying is that if you have a talent, you don't need to go to school because you have that, you know, talent that was given to you. So you don't have to be necessarily.
Wait, why were the garbage people mad at you?
Were you not here for this?
No, okay. I was not here for this.
This was, Evan was talking about who we have to tip around Christmas time.
Yeah.
And me and Tommy got into a debate. Do the garbage men really deserve
no,
a tip?
No.
They're
Absolutely.
Paid by your taxes.
No. So that's not what happened.
Tommy, by the way, the only one still has not tipped his garbage man.
Well, you live in an apartment,
though. Hold on. Yes, I live in an apartment building, Teak. That's number one. Number two, Sean and I were not having a debate about it. Sean got on his high horse and called sanitation workers button pushers, and that's the reason why he doesn't tip them. And half of our audience thought it was me that said it.
They're not button pushers.
Hold on.
My garbage guys get out, and they take the garbage out, and they put it in the thing, and then when I'm walking the dogs, they throw, like, dog bones to my dogs.
Okay,
it's
first
awesome.
Of all, you have an unbelievable community there. My garbage men, sanitation workers, are button pushers, because we have pails that you can only have in our town that a crane picks up specifically. You can't buy your own pail at Lowe's or Home Depot. You have to get these pails in town. The button gets pushed, the crane gets put up, the guy never gets out of his truck. Why am I tipping?
Is it one guy?
One guy. Did my wife overtip him? Yes, she did. But they are button pushers in my town. So I have a lot of mental issues. That is not the sanitation workers I know. I did tip my mailman yesterday, and he did remind me, do not bring this up on air because we're not allowed to get tipped. So that's your reminder to everybody.
But you just brought it up on air.
Nobody's going to know. I'm not mentioning his name. Tight with him. But the mailmen are not supposed to get tipped legally, so do that very under the table.
No, but you just brought it up on the air that you basically have to put in a brown paper bag for your mailman. So by saying that, you really did the wrong thing.
Right, because they know who you are and
Correct.
They know where you live.
Well, and now
then in that case, I did not tip him at all.
And now people are going to be looking for these tips happening. So now you alerted those that are looking for this to look for it.
And I did my usual $101 because I know his largest tip's $100. So I want to go over that by dollar.
So now he's getting tipped by multiple people, even though he's not supposed to be dipped at all.
Exactly. I did the high five thing too. Just put it right in your pocket. No card here. 888.
Were you buying weed? I mean, come on.
I didn't want him going home with any cards. Just put it in your wallet. Nobody would know. You found it on the ground. Got to have it. All right. 888-808-1019. Jeff in Brooklyn. Jeff, what's up?
Hey, yeah. Look, as far as comes to a coach like Mike Tomlin, I 100% agree. I think he's won in his career with even when he didn't have anything around him. But I don't understand why people love Harbaugh. He's always had a good team around him. Mm-hmm. The Ravens and the Eagles, at least when I look at it, are the two teams that always hit in the draft. They always have great teams around them. Going into the season, I thought the Ravens were going to make the Super Bowl. Their number two corner would be a number one corner on most teams.
Right.
They had great players all around. I want a coach who doesn't need everything perfect to win, but Harbaugh has had everything perfect.
Yeah, but don't you think that maybe it's perfect because of John Harbaugh? Yeah.
You don't think he's in those draft rooms?
He might be a part of in the draft rooms, but league-wide.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, that's part of it. It's pretty good thing when he has these supposed perfect teams around him because he has a part in the player personnel discussion.
100%. And he's charged with, even though he's not personally doing it because he has a good staff, of developing all these guys, whether it's the offensive lineman, whether it's the quarterback, whether it's the defensive ends, whatever it is, he helps facilitate that.
And
he builds a great culture.
A great culture. He has the most road playoff wins in NFL history.
Right.
Which is a great stat to have. Shows, you know, your ability. That's a tough thing to do, right? And the NFL players do that. And also, I want to remind everybody, as the success he's had with Lamar Jackson, and obviously they make the AFC title game a couple years ago, what does everybody think of Joe Flacco's career?
Right.
Was Joe Flacco the elite of elite quarterbacks?
No.
Did they win a Super Bowl? They win a lot of road playoff games with him?
Yes.
So if he was able to do that at one point in time with the Baltimore Ravens and still continued to have success, was that a perfect setup?
Right. He's the example of not having a top 10 quarterback and being able to win a Super Bowl.
Correct.
And be consistently good.
And
that's the mantra in today's NFL, is that you got to have a top 10 quarterback. Otherwise, you're not getting to the postseason and you're not getting deep into the postseason. You're certainly not winning a Super Bowl. But that's not the case when you have a really great coach.
He did, in an era, by the way, with Peyton Manning involved mm-hmm. in the AFC and Tom Brady, etc., he did what Kyle Shanahan is yet to be able to do in San Francisco, which is win that Super Bowl without the elite quarterback.
Right.
And there's something to be said for that. Frank in Titton Falls. Frank, what's up? Frank.
Hey guys.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hear me?
Yeah, yes. What's up, dude?
Hey. All right, so I have a conspiracy theory right now, okay? I believe that the MLB wants the Dodgers to do everything that they're doing. And the reason why they want this to happen is because it will put pressure on the players, because it's going to make fans want a salary cap. And by getting that public outcry of it not being fair that the Dodgers are doing what they're doing, it changes the whole conversation, and that gives them way more bargaining when there's an inevitable, you know, no baseball after this season type situation.
Well, I mean, it's so who's benefiting from this?
I guess
it's Major League Baseball is saying this.
Because the players
are not going to want a cap because it limits what they can get paid.
But baseball wants the fans on their side as opposed to the player's side. That would be the point. So I guess public perception-wise.
Right, so if the Dodgers win another World Series, basically buy another World Championship, then the fans are going to start getting disgusted by the Dodgers always buying.
And they'll side with the owners in the league that, you know what, these players do need a salary cap. Now, here's the problem.
But they still need the players to agree to this.
Yeah, exactly. So ultimately, you're still talking about a long lockout, whatever it is, anyway. And also, why would the Dodgers agree to this? Because if there ever did become a salary cap...
Yeah, they all of a sudden it undercuts their philosophy.
Well, and what the hell do the Dodgers have to do then? Like, nobody's discussed that part if there's a salary cap. The Dodgers have all this deferred money. Do they have to sell off certain contracts to make it work?
Right.
Are they grandfathered in and allowed to have these guys with these contracts?
That's a great point.
How does that work?
Right. How do you reconcile what's already happened?
There's a freeze.
And it's already on the books for years.
What is there, a freeze for 5 years? The Dodgers can't sign anybody? Then how do they field the team? Why would they? And I only say that to say why, if there's an MLB conspiracy theory, why would the Dodgers themselves cooperate in it? They only get hurt.
Yeah.
Ryan and Scotch Plains. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? First of all, just wanted to wish you happy holidays.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
And also wanted to talk about the Spagnuolo point. Like, originally, I wasn't on to Spagnuolo, but the last caller made a great point, especially with talking about them and the Patriots and what Bill Belichick did. And, you know, he's been around for a while with Pat Mahomes. Like, isn't that going to be helpful for Jackson Dart's development, that he's been watching Mahomes and how he's developed over the last few years? And Dart and Mahomes don't have that much of a different playing style. Like, he can help the defense, but also isn't that beneficial that he could help Jackson develop, seeing what Mahomes has done?
Well, I think it would matter who he's hiring. Again, it's going to keep coming down the staff for me. And eventually, whoever the head coach is of the New York Giants, they're going to need a hell of an offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. They need someone who teaches Jackson Dart and who works with Jackson Dart in a collaborative way. It's interesting because I feel like I'm seeing that happen from afar. I don't know this because I'm not in their meetings or anything like that, with Kellen Moore and Tyler Shuck down in New Orleans. It feels like their offense is catered to what Shuck does well.
Definitely.
And you're starting to see them play better. Like, they're not good because they've got a ton of injuries and things of that nature, but they've won games against the bad teams.
They've come together as a team.
And so much of that, it starts with the quarterback, obviously, but I think it's the head coach having his pulse or the pulse of the team. And Kellen Moore has that.
Yeah. And let's not forget, Mike Kafka was around Patrick Mahomes' infancy, and we feel like him as the head coach now.
Yeah.
What did that matter?
Right.
Real quickly, Alex in New York City. Alex, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Alex?
First of all, you guys got it all wrong about the Grinch. The guy was creating stuff from the year 8-year-old. He was making, you know, special gifts for Martha May with a blowtorch and all that. So, yeah, he might have dropped out. But
so he was a genius. That's what I said, Alex. So he was like a genius.
Yeah. He was a genius. That's right.
But to build a whole sleigh like that that could get off the ground
the guy was using blowtorches.
That's so, Alex, the big magic tool is the blowtorch now? Is that really?
Yeah,
really?
For an 8-year-old? I mean, that's a big deal.
So at 26 years old now, he's figured out aerodynamics?
Well, if you're using a blowtorch at 8 years old, that means you can do everything.
His parents, I mean, completely lost the Grinch's parents. And then poor dog barely eats.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.